Life Audio.
It's that top of the week, Johnny, where we give a little extra. You know what? We go the extra mile with another special bonus mini-sode of Talk About That.
I think we go above and beyond.
Yeah,
I think we throw our hat right over the wall.
Yeah.
And then we got to go. And then what Kennedy said?
And then you got to go find your hat.
You're like, dude, what happened to me was a bully would throw my hat over the wall.
Oh.
And then I would cry and go home.
Yeah.
That's not as much.
Hatless.
That doesn't make you want to go to the moon. That's not as good of an analogy.
And that sounded like a metaphor. You know what? Throwing my hat over the wall makes me want to go to the moon.
There's an old joke in Jewish culture, like some of the best early humor is Jewish humor.
Yeah.
And so I watch all these old documentaries about the history of humor. And so a lot of these Jewish comics will tell their favorite Jewish joke. And my favorite one, and I may have told it on the podcast once, you know, years ago, but it's a woman is walking with her young son on the beach. And this huge wave just comes and takes him. And he's gone. And she's like, what in the world? She's crying. She's crying out to God. Please, God, my son, it's all I have. Please. And then this big wave, bigger than the first, just boom, spits him right back out on the shore. He coughs. He's fine. She looks up. She goes, he had a hat. It's just so great. I mean, I think that joke like sums up. It's one of those things like it's so true. You know what I'm saying? It's funny because it's so true. Like, her prayer was answered, and she's still like,
come on, man.
Now he's wet. He had a hat. It's so great. Love
That's
it
great.
So much.
That's great.
Anyway, we go above and beyond here, and we're trying so with these episodes. And we're talking about this month we're talking about New Year's stuff.
Yeah.
Related to, because everybody gets in the thing of like, we know time is kind of a construct, but we're kind of in this mode of it's a new beginning for everything. And so we try to start thinking about self-care or being a better person.
Yeah.
In some way.
Yeah, last week we kind of just talked about general ideas and history of New Year's resolutions. And this week we're going to talk a little bit more about setting yourself and or just the topic of emotional and mental health. As you, wow, did you hear my mouth made a funny noise? Mental health. in the new year. Because I think it's a time we want to generally focus on the physical things.
Yeah.
But this is a time I think it's just as important, if not more, that we kind of look at the way that we think or the way that we're approaching our life. And so I was talking about that Sunday just a little bit, which you weren't here because you don't care about me.
I was practicing my own level of self-care by staying away from false teaching. No, I'm kidding. No, I had a thing I had to be at, but
yeah.
I hate to miss. I'll go back on the archive and watch it.
I doubt that you
I'll
will,
watch it online.
Hey, it's okay. No one's judging.
All right.
But I mean, you know, we were talking about like let God transform you into basically a new person by changing the way you think. That's one translation of Romans 12:2. And like there's really, in my opinion, there's not a lot of things you can do without your mindset changing first.
Yeah.
Like drastic things. If you don't believe differently about something or begin to think differently, and that's why there's all these new apps even for weight loss, and we don't want to get into weight loss. It's another episode. But like the Noom app is trying to adjust not the problem,
right,
but the mindset that leads to the patterns that become a problem over time.
John, it's not what you're eating. It's what's eating you.
Mm.
There used to be a weight loss thing. I remember that. Nice. It was like one of those 800, you know, call the 800 number on the thing. And the weight loss plan was called, it's not what you're eating. It's what's eating you.
Wow. My other favorite one is, imagine how much you'll gain when you lose.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that was that's good. I like wordplays.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. You got to change your mind about some things before you can change your life. And
it sounds cheesy. Like we don't want to.
Yeah.
It's one of those. I think from a spiritual standpoint, even like we sort of separate all of these disciplines.
Yeah.
And like we want to act like no, you can't. You know, mental emotional health is separate from spiritual health, as if our bodies and minds and brains and souls and spirits are all these parsed out sort of separate pieces of us. And I think a better sort of theology is realizing you're a whole person. you know, that's one thing about, and we'll talk about that later, but like your brain is connected to your body for a reason.
Yeah.
The way that you think, it can't happen outside unless our previous episode you talked about cryogenic freezing or uploading your
right. That can
consciousness
happen.
To the AI platform or the cloud. But right. outside of that, which is completely viable, obviously.
Yeah, no, it'll happen.
But outside of that, like you really are. I mean, the way you think is, you know, so important to the health of your life. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of people hit January. I know we do. I immediately think I should do all these things differently. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to actually have more moments of sort of silence and mindfulness right now. Making myself, hey, yeah. close my eyes. Like there's a great app, you know, called Lectio 365, you know, that it's just it's a 12-minute thing. And there's sort of reflection, you know, but it's not just a spiritual thing. That's also doing something for my mind.
Yeah.
Cause our phones tend to, I think, dominate sort of the processes of our minds.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing I think about that, especially this last few years, I started thinking about the last time I had lost my phone. And it's been a long time because I always know where it is.
Wow.
Whereas the old days, when we didn't have smartphones, you'd set your phone down and wander off.
Yeah.
But now it's like you look at your phone so much that we don't lose our phones as much.
Interesting.
You can't lose it. It's like a vestigial organ.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if I love it, but it's just part of what it is.
Maybe we should lose our phones more for mental, emotional health.
We used to do that thing. I think that's a good idea. One of the things that we did one time, one of my last sermons and last nights as a college pastor before I went full-time comedy, we all went to dinner, and we would do this after services sometimes. We went somewhere, and I just heard of this thing that people were doing called phone stack. Have you ever done this?
Yeah.
You stack your phones in the middle of the table, and again, this was 2012. So smartphones were becoming a problem.
Yeah.
Being distracted by your phones. Even if you had a flip phone, you could be distracted by text messages and T9 and everything. But the challenge is, if you're in a group of people, you want to hang out with those people. You don't want to be like, yeah, I see what you're getting at, but let's see what these other people have to say. This seems more important. Now it's just like a non-starter. It happens all the time. But we stacked our phones in the middle of the table. And then what you do is, the first person to pick up their phone has to pay for dinner. That's the original.
Oh, okay.
That's as I read it. That was the house rules that I read. Now some people play it differently. They just go, you lose. The first person to pick up their phone loses. But I've heard make it a real, put real consequences on it so that you're going to be engaged with who you're around.
Yeah.
And I wish I did that more. We should do that more. Although we don't look at our phones a lot when we're at lunch with each other. We're like engaged in talking with each other, catching up.
Yeah, I like to be relieved from my phone.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll check things that are, you know, if my wife's texting me or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Sadie's phone died the other day. Just completely died. Just wigged out.
Just bricked.
And so she was without it for a day.
Yeah.
And I told her the next day, because, you know, her kids are all eye-rolling, like, of course you want them to be on their phones less. I was like, hey, this is not me wanting this, not wanting this. It's just like almost like a science experiment. I'm just curious.
Uh-huh.
Because it felt like she was just kind of hanging out near me a lot more that day.
Right.
And we were just talking and...
Yeah.
You know, it was a day also she was at home. School hadn't started yet.
Yeah.
So that was a little different. But I was like, how do you feel? You know, I was like, just out of curiosity, you know. Of course, she can't give in.
Yeah.
I feel great.
Right. Because then it's like, it'll never come back.
Right. So, but I felt like that it gave her a little more freedom, you know, and.
That's a very loaded question. How do you feel right now?
Do you feel
great? So then she's going to start thinking you did it to her.
Right.
To teach her a lesson. You made the phone wig out.
That's the hard thing, man. You can't just be a parent without someone suspecting a lesson.
People, every turn. It is like distraction is not just like an aspect to American culture and life now and just modern culture. And I don't want to say just American culture. It is like it's a feature, not a bug anymore. Yeah. Now, distracted is like almost the goal. Like it's we need to appear busy so we can look like we're really doing something with our lives. Companies need to keep us on the hamster wheel.
Yeah.
So like I read a conspiracy theory about Apple watches the other day, and I don't normally believe in conspiracy theories, but this one made sense to me. It said that they'll make your watch like randomly vibrate during the day, even though you don't have a notification, just so you stay engaged with it more. I was like, that's really creepy if it's true.
So those aren't phantom vibrations I'm feeling.
They're doing it. And I was like, that's really, if that's true, that's really creepy and gross. Yeah. And I'm sure every company will eventually just figure out a way to do that. Like, how do we get them looking at their phone more?
Interesting.
We just send random impulses. But yeah, there's a thing of like unplugging, and I'm trying to be more, my screen time is way down. I took Twitter off my phone.
Yeah.
I still look at it on the laptop, and I engage with my fans on there and people that I follow. But I'm on it way less, and so my screen time is like in half just from taking Twitter off my phone. Because evidently I was constantly getting my news that way.
Yeah.
Or I'd be like, why is this trending? And then I would go down the rabbit hole of trying to figure out why something's trending. And it would always be negative. It's never positive. It's never like, oh, you know, jelly beans
way to
for
go,
everybody.
America?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Why are jelly beans trending? Yeah.
No, it's good. I think removing an idea, I remove social media from the front screen. I have to at least swipe somewhere else to get to it, and it's in a folder. I don't go to it nearly as often.
Yeah.
You know, I think also give yourself some grace. That's the big mental, emotional, like health thing, I would say. Lots of people just jump in January 1. I got to do this and read this many books and this, you know, and it's great. Use that opportunity to push forward. But we're kind of calling it the slow. Like, I'm easing into better rhythms and better patterns.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have to all be done by January the 5th. And then, because that's just a good way to overpromise and then underperform and feel that you fail. I think if you can say anything to people like, hey, across the board, health is not something you just snap yourself into in any way, emotionally, mentally, physically, or spiritually. So, you know,
take it easy on yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
I think sometimes I think about that, like there is taking care of yourself and then there's taking it easy on yourself. Sometimes we mistake the two things.
Yeah.
Like I'll be like, I got to take care of myself this year. I probably need to be going to the gym every other day, 3 times a week, 4 times a week. But if I take it too easy on myself, I don't go to the gym.
Yeah, you got to.
But sometimes in your mental health, you got to give yourself some slack and be like, all right, I've been through a lot and I'm still here.
Yeah.
Then so there's a time to take it easy on yourself. And I think mental health, that's probably a better practice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I'm a big believer in 12-step recovery, various kinds. You know, the things that keep coming up in your mental and emotional health are not there by accident.
Yeah.
Like, so nothing comes out of nowhere. If you always say, man, that came out of nowhere, he blew up out of nowhere, that he did not.
Right.
But usually that came from somewhere. And so
I caused it. So what you're
Johnny.
Saying?
It was Johnny.
That's the 13th step.
Yeah. It's
is
the,
get,
much
take Johnny
known.
Out of your life. Remove the problem.
Yeah. Go through start a process, you know, with people you trust. I think therapy, I'm a big believer in therapy. You know, finding the right therapist and someone you can share with. And
we need to talk about that one day. How do you know if you have the right therapist? Cause I've been thinking about therapy.
Yeah.
But I'm always afraid of, like, how do you divorce from your therapist if you go, look, there's no chemistry here. How do you get out of that relationship? Because you're a loyalist, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you think you have the right person, but, like, what if it wasn't?
Right. What
would
you
be like, this Tuesday's no good for me. Why? Because I'm with my other therapist.
And how does that make you feel?
Yeah. Then you'd get that and turn it back on him.
Yeah.
I'm going through a tunnel. You're breaking up.
Are you avoiding right now?
Yeah. Your therapist can't let you out because they know that you fear intimacy. So you're avoiding this conversation. This is classic John. You're like, this is why I don't like you. We need to have that conversation about
that's how
great. You know, because I really am trying to dip my toe in that water this year and get in touch with my feelings more than just on this podcast. But I'm afraid of the wrong guy.
Interesting. Well, and I think it's okay to give it time. That's another great thing. Hey, give it time. I don't think you're going to know for probably 8 weeks on things like that. And, you know, like sometimes things work out. Recovery is the same way.
Yeah.
I always tell people to start like, hey, this is going to feel very elementary to you.
Yeah.
Like a waste of your time. And usually somewhere in week 9 or 10,
right,
suddenly something takes.
8 weeks will be enough time for him to be like, do you have a friend who's like toxic in your life? And I go, I do. What do you know? What do you know?
That's great. Hey, guys, we want to be your non-toxic friends. You should check us out at talkaboutthatpodcast.com. And it's a part of the Life Audio Podcast Network. Appreciate their partnership. And lots of exciting other full-length episodes. You can catch those every Monday. And also you can catch more of these little bonus episodes that are continually coming out at different times. We appreciate you spending the time with us. It means a lot. And we'll see you next Monday on
Talk About That.
Hi, I'm Zach.
And I'm Randy.
And we're from Salty Saints Podcast. We're a theology and apologetics podcast.
To find out more, subscribe at lifeaudio.com.